You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. This episode is being released on June 17th, 2021. This week, we're going to be talking about same-sex marriage. With it being so-called Pride Month, I figured we ought to take at least one episode on the podcast to talk about something related to that. Last week, Gallup came out with some new statistics regarding the number of Americans who support same-sex marriage. And in what should be no surprise to anyone, the percentage of people in our society who support same-sex marriage continues to increase. And there are some lessons in this that we need to consider that go beyond simply what the Bible teaches about homosexuality. So we're going to consider some of these lessons today. For links to the story that we'll be talking about and other related materials, you can check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/061721. Now for our story this week. Record high 70% in U.S. support same-sex marriage. From Gallup, says the U.S. support for same-sex marriage continues to trend upward, now at 70%, a new high in Gallup's trend since 1996. This latest figure marks an increase of 10 percentage points since 2015, when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that all states must recognize same-sex marriages. Today, 70% support Today's 70% support for same-sex marriage marks a new milestone in a trend that has pointed upward for a quarter of a century. A small minority of Americans, 27%, supported legal recognition of gay and lesbian marriages in 1996, when Gallup first asked the question. But support rose steadily over time, eventually reaching the majority level for the first time in 2011. By the time of the Supreme Court's Obergefell versus Hodges decision in 2015, support for gay marriage had reached 60%. Since then, the issue has been less prominent in U.S. politics, and public support for same-sex marriage has continued to increase. Now, as we pause there, is from reading from the article, really none of that probably is much of a surprise. We've seen all around us, support for this continues to grow up. More and more people are open to and accepting this idea and this arrangement. But there are a couple other points in the story that I think are worthy to note. One is this. The story says, quote, Republicans who have consistently been the party group least in favor of same-sex marriage show majority support in 2021 for the first time. 55%. The latest increase in support among all Americans is driven largely by changes in Republicans' views. Now, we'll get to more about that in just a few minutes. But then another point that I want us to consider before we start talking about this article. As would be expected at a high watermark in national support for same-sex marriage, all age groups are the most supportive they have been to date. Still, age differences remain, with 84% of young adults, 72% of middle-aged adults, and 60% of older adults saying they favor same-sex marriages. Now, there are a few points that I want us to consider from this article and from these findings, and if you're interested in reading more about these statistics, you can check out the show notes that the article will be linked to there, and you can read more about this. But there are some points that I want us to remember, and some of these are going to be more obvious than others, but I think we still need to be reminded of these things and be ready to teach others these things as well. So what are some points to remember? Number one, God has defined homosexuality as a sin. In Genesis chapter 19, God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was not because those who want to dismiss this as being a judgment against practicing those who practice homosexuality. It's not because the people of the cities were inhospitable to Lot's guests when they came to him or anything else. It was because of the widespread practice of homosexuality that was there. Jude, writing in the New Testament, explained this in Jude verse 7. He said, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Why were they punished? It was because of the practices, the sexual activity that they were engaged in, going after strange flesh, indulging in gross immorality. That was why they were destroyed. The law of Moses stated, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. That's in Leviticus 18 and verse 22. Now, a lot of people want to just dismiss passages like that because they're in the Old Testament. And we do need to understand the place of the Old Testament. But those passages are still relevant. However, you also have passages in the New Testament, though, that condemn the practice of homosexuality. Romans 1, 26 and 27 describe the practice as degrading, unnatural, indecent, and error. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 indicates that those who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this practice is described in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10 as being contrary to sound teaching. Those who want to defend the practice of homosexuality, they may have reasons why they want to do that, and they may have different arguments that they want to make. It cannot be defended from the Bible. The Bible, all the way through, continuously and regularly condemns the practice of homosexuality. Second point is that God created marriage to be a union between one man and one woman. God created Adam and Eve in the beginning and established the covenant of marriage. Genesis 2:24 explains the significance of this for those who would come after them, which would include us and everyone alive today. That verse says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Jesus cited this as the basis for his instructions on marriage. In Matthew 19:4-6, it says, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. God's plan for marriage is one man and one woman. They would be joined together and be joined for life. Matthew 19 would go on and talk about an exception to that for fornication, but the rule is one man and one woman for life. Third point is that our standard is not what society believes. There are many issues that this point would apply to, but we need to take it here and understand how it is applicable on this point. The standard by which we will be judged in the end is the Word of God. Jesus said in John 12:48, the word that I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. No matter what our society accepts, we need to make sure that we believe and follow Christ. Paul wrote in Romans 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, as a sub-point to this, and also going along with the previous point about marriage, what society or what governments call marriage is not always going to be used to describe a relationship in which God has bound the two parties together. In other words, you can have two people that society recognizes being married, or that they have some license from the civil authorities that state that they are married. They might file taxes that say that they are married. But that does not mean that God has bound them to one another in marriage. And for more on this point, and this is an important point, check out the article in the show notes about God's marriage law, because this is more than just about same-sex marriage. This is about understanding what God's law is for marriage for all of us. So that article is going to be linked in the show notes. Fourth point that I want us to think about is that we should not put our trust in political parties. I know that there are many Christians who have supported and voted for Republican candidates, at least in part, because of their stand on moral issues. However, politicians, they want to get elected. That's what they do. So if 55% of Republicans, those who say they're Republicans, 55% of that party are now supporting same-sex marriage, you can expect that Republican politicians are going to start supporting this if they haven't already. Now, there will always be exceptions to this, but as a general rule, politicians of whatever party, it doesn't matter what party it is, politicians say what they need to say and support what they need to support in order to get elected. Rather than putting our trust in some political party, say, well, if we need to support these people so that way, you know, things will get better. Remember what the psalmist said, Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. We need to put our hope and our trust in God, not in electing the right candidates, because they may not be right, or they may not carry out what we think they're going to do. Put our trust in God and not in man. Fifth point, and this is the last point we're going to notice today before we wrap this up, but the fifth point is that this is not going away. Support for same-sex marriage, as we've seen in these numbers, in this poll, and as we've seen, as we look around at the world, as we can observe it, support for same-sex marriage is increasing. And when you break it down by age, each generation views it more favorably than the generation before. Why are young people so supportive of this? Why is it that 84% of young adults, 18 to I think it was 34 years old, why is it that 84% of young adults support same-sex marriage? It's because they are taught to support it, or maybe more accurate to say they're conditioned to think that way through sometimes the influence of their parents, but it's not always their parents because, again, it grows generation to generation. So if 70-something percent of middle-aged adults support it, and a larger percentage of younger Americans support it, then obviously they're learning it from more than just their parents. But it could be, as some of them, they're influenced by their parents. Many of them may be influenced by their friends or their peers. School systems push this type of thing, especially government-supported and funded school systems push this type of thing. The entertainment that they consume pushes this agenda. And so all of these things come together and influence them to become more and more favorable toward this idea of homosexuality and same-sex marriage and all sorts of other things now that are becoming more and more common and accepted, like transgenderism and things like that. This is not going to reverse course. We are more likely than not just going to see this continue to increase. Well, where does that lead us? We have a clue in the Bible that could show us where this is headed. Because there are two times in the Bible where you have a broad acceptance of homosexuality and or a high percentage of the population who practice it. One is the example of Sodom in Genesis 19. We've already talked about that a little bit. But the other one is Gibeah in Judges 19. And I wrote about this in the article that also will be linked in the show notes, The Growing Acceptance of Homosexuality. We're not going to go through all of that, and we're not going to go through all those passages. If you're not familiar with those, especially the Judges 19 story. Go back and read that. But you can check out the article. But basically what we see in both of those instances, when homosexuality is broadly accepted and widely practiced, what happens? What happened in those instances, and then potentially what could we expect to see as those conditions develop here? Well, there are a few things that happened. One, they became more demanding. Two, they became more intolerant. And three, they became violent. We've certainly seen the first two. More demanding, more intolerant. Will we see that third one? Now, it's hard to say. We can't predict the future. But we should be prepared for whatever difficulties and whatever persecutions might come upon us. Now, while this is a discouraging topic for us to consider, I want us to close with this point. Keep in mind that despite how discouraging this is, there is always hope. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians and told them that homosexuals, along with those who practice many other sins, would not inherit the kingdom of God, we've mentioned that verse already, he then said right after that in 1 Corinthians 6:11, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." Just as homosexuals in Corinth could turn from that sin and obey the gospel, the same thing can happen today. This is true of any sin, not just homosexuality, but that can happen even today. So while the overall condition of our society is deteriorating, let's keep sowing the seed of the gospel, looking for those with good and honest hearts who would be open to hearing the word of God and surrendering their lives to Christ. Because you can have, as bleak as the outlook may look around us, you can still have people who will be open to the truth. You can still have people who are willing to change to conform their life to Christ. So we need to, as long as we are still here, we need to keep shining the light of the gospel and trying to lead others to Christ. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it, despite, as I mentioned, kind of discouraging in this episode, but I hope you found it informative and helpful nonetheless. For links to the news story we talked about, as well as other related links that we mentioned as we went through here, you can check out the show notes for this episode, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/061721. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you use those platforms, please subscribe and rate to the podcast there. If you know of others who would be interested in hearing this or who would benefit from this discussion, please share this with them. Also, if you see a news story that you think might make for a good discussion, you can email that link to me, andy@plainbibleteaching.com, and I would appreciate, you know, seeing what you've found, and maybe we'll talk about that here on the podcast. So thanks again for listening. I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter.